Cheers Cast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
Aren't you the one to call about a rat problem?
No, of course not. No, we don't have rats.
Well, that's what we understand, ma'am. Rats in the building. Big gray ones. That's why we're here.
Everybody hold on. There are no rats here.
Oh, of course, Rebecca. We believe you. If you should run across any white ones about yay big, I'd be happy to give you $4 apiece for them.
What do you use them for?
Snacks.
You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheers Cast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me today to discuss a seminal episode for Cheers is first-time guest on the show. Please welcome from the GeekCast Radio Network, Mike Blanchard. What's up, Mike?
You know my podcast network. Oh, my God. Hey.
Well, that's like the podcast equivalent of carding somebody at the door.
Oh, trust me, I'm old enough at this point.
Well, welcome to the show, and as it is your first time, you get the same question that all newbies get. What is your origin story with Cheers?
I was 2 years old when the show debuted. I don't think I actively understood or watched a full episode till about 85 or 86 when I was 5 or 6 years old. Of course, by the time May of 86 rolled around, Knight Rider had gone off the air, so I needed something to replace it. So I'm like, oh, let's go watch the adults at the bar downstairs. You know, just like some of your other guests who have said that they were not only watching it as it aired new episodes, they were watching the same thing with me.
Yeah.
The reruns were always being watched because that's the way TV was back then.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a little more close to home. So not to bury the lead, but I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts. And yes, I can park the car in Harvard Yard.
Thank you for doing that unsolicited.
Yeah, this was... I do it every guest appearance. Like yeah. It's wicked pissy, don't you know? It's just one of those things where Cheers... Oh, it's a bar in Boston. I'm originally from... Like, you know, how can I not enjoy this show? And yeah, I was a kid when I was watching it, but that's the thing. I come from divorced parents. My mom and dad divorced when I was two. I lived with my mom full time, and I basically, she let me watch whatever I wanted to watch. Like, it wasn't like, oh my God, this is too violent. Oh my God, you're going to blah, blah, blah. No, wasn't anything like that. And I just ended up watching the show. I never really kept up with, I think within the last 2 weeks, I've watched more Cheers in the last 2 weeks than I have in the last 40 years, probably. Because I haven't really kept up with the show overall, and as much as I've known about your lovely podcast here, I haven't had time to catch up with the podcast or the show, so it's like, I guess I should finally do that, you know? But watching it as a kid, I didn't know any of these. I know some of the jokes. I knew some of the jokes as a kid, but not all of them, because it's an adult show, obviously, and someone who's anywhere from 5 years old to 10 years old is not going to get the...
If you're coming from Knight Rider.
Well, hey.
I mean, it's pretty much the same premise.
I guess you could do Knight Rider in a bar, maybe? I don't know. It'd be a pretty big bar.
All right. Well, I mentioned at the top that this is an important episode because we're kind of getting the first of what becomes like a subset of like 7 or 8 episodes throughout the second half of the series. And that is the Bar Wars saga. So here we're starting off like the first in a series of tales about Cheers versus their rival, Gary's Old Town Tavern. Now, even though this is the first in the Bar Wars, because subsequent episodes will have titles like Bar Wars 2, Bar Wars 3, Bar Wars 4, this isn't the first one to feature this rivalry, and I'll mention in a bit where this story originated. But, yeah, for now, this episode, we're on Season 6, Episode 23, Bar Wars, like Star Wars, but different. This one is written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, directed by James Burrows, and the original air date was Thursday, March 31st, 1988. The gang at Cheers celebrates the second anniversary of the time they beat Gary's Old Town Tavern in bowling, and for that you can see Season 4 episode From Beer to Eternity for reference. But Gary steals and destroys their prize trophy. Sam and Carla retaliate with a fake truce involving champagne and dribble stemware. This sets off a series of retaliatory pranks between the two bars. Gary sends fake pest control over to Cheers to scare away his customers after announcing that Cheers has a rat infestation. The Cheers gang tries to spike Gary's alcohol. Gary's gang lowers the bar stools at Cheers. Finally, Cheers sabotages Gary's television during the night of a big boxing match, causing all of Gary's customers to go to Cheers instead. Gary congratulates them on their victory and sends his good friend and Red Sox All-Star Wade Boggs to Cheers to sign autographs. Thinking that this is just another one of Gary's tricks, the guys chase the Wade Boggs guy out into the street and take his pants, only later realizing that it was the actual Boggs, and Gary tricked them into tricking themselves. Rather than admit that they're losers who will never top Gary, the gang clings to the one saving grace they have, the legendary Wade Boggs pants. All right, Mike, what did you think about this episode?
I loved this episode. And I remember now what it was. It was because of being originally from Boston. If you're from Boston, if you were born and bred in Boston, sports is everything. And I'm sure I say this in every podcast I'm a guest on. I'm sure that's like that with any other teams from any other city, whatever. But I don't know. It's just something different in Boston. And you bled for the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Bruins, the Celtics, no matter if they were winning or losing. And Wade Boggs was the ultimate third baseman at the time in the 80s for the Red Sox. So I haven't seen this episode, like I said, in so many years. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that is Wade Boggs. That's pretty cool. But really? His pants? Really? Oh, boy. No, I like this. I think this is so very much fun. And because this is season 6 and not season 4, poor Rebecca is like left out in the cold. Like, what? What's going on?
She does have to play catch up, yeah.
Well, I love that she basically, you know, stands on the top of the whatever it is in the bar and she just whistles at all of them. What is going on? If you don't explain this to me right now, I'm going to cry.
Which is so good because at this point in the season, like, we know how easy it is for her to just turn on a dime and start that crying tactic. We have seen that. Like, mm-hmm. as much as she had that icy facade in the beginning, we have seen that crack over and over in the last couple of episodes. So we know how great Rebecca is when she cries. So yeah, she comes in and she's telling them that she wants to be more assertive and she just took the seminar on leadership and everything. And the gang is completely oblivious to her. They ignore her and they all start to celebrate and they're cheering each other and they're high-fiving as they're looking at their watches. Like, yeah, it's the anniversary. And she's like, what is going on? Nobody will pay attention to her. And she finally, yeah, just whistles for them to stop. And she's like, if you don't tell me what's going on, I'm going to start crying. And she's like halfway there as she says it. Like, her voice is quivering. Mm-hmm. You can see it.
Oh, yeah.
It took her 0 seconds to go from confident put together to neurotic. All it took was people ignoring her. And it's just, she's such a teenage girl in some of these episodes. And she does it so well. But yeah, before getting into the episode proper, really, like I mentioned, there are 7 or 8 Bar Wars episodes. Like, the season 4 episode From Beer to Eternity is really like Bar Wars 0, like the episode 0.
Yeah.
That's our previous episode to feature Gary and Gary's Old Town Tavern. Now, the weird thing about Gary is that 2 different actors play him over the course of, yeah. He's in 6 episodes out of all of these series, and he's played by 2 different actors, but they kind of jump around at different times. Like, it's not consistent. Joel Polis played Gary in season 4. Robert Desiderio plays him in this episode. The next time we see him, it's going to be Joel Polis again, and then Robert Desiderio comes back for later episodes. So it's this weird thing that, like, I don't know if it was a scheduling thing or whatever their commitments were, but they've got these two different actors playing the character over the next, you know, five seasons, and it's just like, I don't know who was available that particular week. So it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the teaser for this episode is a great little bit. Carla is a little bit dressed up for Carla, and she's going out to the movies with her husband Eddie, and she mentions that it's his last night in town before going back out on the road with the ice show. And Cliff is kind of like, you maybe want to be careful, you know, your husband going out on the road for so long. Maybe he'll hook up with a chorus girl in the show while he's far away from it. He calls it his connubials, if you know what I'm saying. Which I love the typical Cliff line, yeah. And Carla is not nervous at all. And she knows Eddie is faithful and would never touch another woman. And I'll just say for listeners, put a pin in that for later on down the road in the show. But yeah, she's like, he would never touch another woman. If there was a one-woman guy, it's Eddie. And Norman's like, okay, what movie are you going to see? And she says, Fatal Attraction, which is just...
Without missing a beat.
Yeah, just like that perfect just drop. And like, you just look at them like, oh, interesting. So it's like, is this, like, how confident was she? And how much is she just, you know, in reinforcing this commitment and this fidelity?
It's so interesting seeing Carla in this kind of, not necessarily a new light, but I always end up hearing like early stories about early season Carla, about how she's miserable. She's got all these kids and the last husband either left her or he died, or I forget which is which. But like, you think once she and Eddie got together, it would be some sort of happily ever after for her. Sadly, down the line, not so much.
Yeah.
Poor Carla.
Poor Carla, yeah. Anyway, after the credits, when we come back, it is, like, as we said, it's the 2-year anniversary of the day that the Cheers gang beat Gary's Old Town Tavern in bowling, and they're thumped because this is the only time they ever won anything, and they Norm mentions that he's beaten them in touch football, softball, darts, ugliest toes was one of their competitions. And the current score is 173-1. But they're not gonna give up that. And Cliff reminds Sam that it's time for the call, the notorious call that they have. And there's this great little physical comedy bit here where Norm dials the phone, slides it, like throws the phone, kind of like sliding it across the bar. And it almost reaches Cliff on the other side, but like springs back the tension of the cord and sort of rubber bands back towards Norm. But Sam catches it halfway there. And it's a nice little, like, humorous little gag. It kind of reminds me of like in the first season when Sam used to do the bar slide with a beer glass or something like that, where he would actually have it like curve around the bar. So it's just good, like a cool little physical comedy bit that they play off really well.
It was a good bit, yeah.
And also just, like, the fact that Norm is the one who dials, too, and everything, and then...
Yeah, Norm dials, and then, you know, basically slides it to Sam, like Sam can't dial his own. It's like they're making this, like, oh my god, Sam, and don't get me wrong, Sam Malone is royalty, and again, not trying to bury the lead, I come from a long line of Malones. My mom's side was the Malone side, my dad's side was the Blanchard side, so once again, why Cheers is kind of ingrained in my blood, at least when I was a kid, is because I thought Sam Malone was my uncle at the time. But it's one of those things where Sam is this figure, even though he doesn't own the bar anymore, even though this whole big corporation owns it and Rebecca's in charge and whatever else, he's got Norm dialing for him. Like, wow, you can't even dial your own phone anymore? Really? You'd think you'd want that? You'd think that Sam would want that satisfaction of just, like, punch dialing the... I'm calling Gary's and I'm going to rub it in his face and... Nope, just have Norm do it and slide him the receiver.
Yeah, on the other hand, I feel like Norm might find like this is the most participation he actually gets in the victory and the conquering of Gary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, during their whole celebration act, the trophy that they were passing around the bar disappears. They suspect that, you know, Gary might have had a bar in the spot, a spy in the bar who stole it. And Cliff was like, who is that guy sitting over in the corner drinking imported beer? And Norm's like, yeah, they're very suspicious. None of us could afford that stuff. So they're about to form this mob to storm Gary's, and Sam kind of calms them down at the door. He's like, let's just send two of us over there. And Cliff, of course, thinks that they will be intimidated by the authority of his uniform. And Sam wants somebody young and athletic, like Woody. And Woody is behind the bar and starts to, like, climb over. He, like, does this little bounce thing where he's climbing over it, but he just kicks, like, these three glasses of beer and just smashes them and spilling beer. It is so ungraceful. And I think back to Woody's first appearance in the premiere of season 4 when he did the opposite, when, like, Sam was, like, offering him a job and Woody on the outside just, like, leapt over the bar, kind of, like, bounded like a gymnast over that and, like, showed how young and enthusiastic and graceful he could be. And now, just, like, two to three years later, how the opposite he looks, and it's just so, so clumsy. But he's so enthusiastic because he does this fist pump in the air. He's so excited. He's like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, well, it's like you always say, it's the downward gravitational spiral of the bar. It's, you know, he's been here 2 years. When you first got to your new job 2 years ago, you're all, you know, pepped up and ready to go and ready to, you know, serve some drinks and have some fun. 2 years later, you've probably drank a little too much. You probably have a little bit of a gut. You probably can't get over the bar as fast as you used to be able to without knocking a few glasses over. You know, Cheers changes people. It does. You're there longer than a night. You've been changed.
And we do see a darkness come out of Woody as the series progresses. It's subtle in ways, absolutely, but it's definitely there. Yeah. When Sam and Woody come back a little bit later, they have the trophy. It's broken. And Carla's like, did you punch Gary in the face? And Sam is like, no. And Woody's like, well, he did ask out one of his waitresses. So they're all just feeling deflated and defeated. And Carla's like, what are you sitting around like a bunch of wimps for? And Norm, very matter-of-factly, just says, well, that's what wimps do. What do you expect of us?
Yep.
So Carla says, we got to do something to make Gary miserable. And Cliff is like, why don't you marry him? So, and then that kind of sparks off a little thing between Carla and Cliff. Rebecca says that she doesn't want the bar to turn into like a locker room. She's afraid that this will just ruin the business when, you know, patrons leave, and except for the Bowery Boys, as she calls the guys. And Frasier pops in. He's like, I agree with it, Rebecca. And she's like, oh, thank you. And he's like, no, it's not for your money grubbing front office kissy face reasons. What this be?
Yeah. Yeah. Frasier's awesome.
Yeah. And he's quick to point out that revenge is never the answer, and this will just set off like a seemingly like endless, you know, back and forth that will leave them unsatisfied. And Cliff, of course, is quick to remind him. He's like, well, hang on a second. What? Didn't you take revenge on Diane after she left him? By, like, what does he say? Like, signing her up for every, like, magazine? Or
no, okay. Okay, so... What Cliff says is, wait a minute, Frasier, didn't you sign Diane up for every magazine, audio, CD, cassette, every Columbia house? He goes, yeah, but the pompous bitch deserved it.
It's such a good thing. He's like, just the way Frasier delivers, like, that was different. He's like, yeah, of course. So Sam and Carla go to Gary's, and I don't want to spoil, but this one might be my home run. Who do they see sitting at the bar at Gary's but Al, lovable old Al, oldest patron who's just there. And Carla's like, Al, why are you here? Why aren't you at Cheers? And he goes, holy mackerel, this isn't Cheers. Just the way he says it. Getting back to his, like, the Sinatra line that he delivered in season 2, like, this might be his second best moment, but... So Sam and Carla tell Gary that they want to bury the hatchet, and they bring this bottle of champagne and glasses for everyone at the bar. And, of course, it's that kind of childish prank with the dribble stemware that people start to sip and they spill the champagne all over themselves. Garyism. Yep. Rather than be disappointed, well, Gary is actually, he says that he's embarrassed at how pathetic this comeback was. And we see Al actually walking to the exit past him and goes, pretty weenie. Calls them, yep. Like, and they're like, all right, that wasn't as good. So, and then, from here, like, it just, it keeps on progressing, as I described in the summary. You get two guys coming to Cheers as pest control to take care of this rat problem, and as soon as they say that, everyone starts to leave the bar, kind of for, as Rebecca is protesting, and she's trying to get them to stop, and Lilith is there with Frasier, and Lilith walks up to one of the exterminators and says, if they find any white rats about this size, she'll pay them $4 for each one. And the exterminator's like, what do you use them for? Carla goes, snacks.
Yeah.
There's an, I think it's in season 9, Carla has almost the same joke. It's about Lilith eating rats, and she calls them like a snack or something. There's an episode later on in the series that has pretty much the same joke. But so the guy, the two exterminator guys, like, sneak off and laugh to amongst themselves. Like, oh, that was Gary. Gary sent them over. And Woody goes, how did he know we have a rat problem?
Woody, at times, he's lovable, but he is so damn stupid. I was listening to a couple of your other podcast episodes, and I would take Coach over Woody any day. At least Coach was absent-minded to the, like, Ernie Pantu, that's you, Coach. Oh, speaking, you know, that's classic. This just, Woody, come on, man.
Yeah, I miss Coach, too. The guys then, we see them, that they retaliate by putting sneezing powder in Gary's vents and prune juice in the Kahlua. But as they come back to celebrate, they all sit down at the bar, and all of the stools have been lowered. So it's just their heads above the bar. It's this great bit because they do that, and then some stranger comes into the bar, like, saying that, you know, his wife, he just came in for a drink, his wife is at the hospital or something. And they just kind of gang up on him and just start questioning this guy until he gets uncomfortable and he leaves. And they're like, yeah, that was obviously a spy. And they sit down at the other side of the bar, and it's the same gag because the stools.
Really quickly, and I'm sorry to derail everything here, but the exterminators. Exterminator number 2, future Jackie Childs, Phil Morris.
Oh, wow. I didn't even look that close. I wrote his name down in my notes, but I didn't even make the connection. I didn't even look that closely at him.
Yep, that's Jackie Childs. That's insert whatever DC voice you want to. Like, he played the voice of John Jones,
yeah,
Martin Manhunter, and a bunch of other. I mean, Phil's done so much in his career.
Oh,
but I'm
yeah.
just like, wait a minute! Holy crap! That's cool.
I can't believe I missed that. I wrote down that name, but I didn't make the connection. I didn't even look that closely at him to recognize him. Wow.
Well, like I said, I didn't recognize him either. Like, for me, when I'm prepping to do podcasting, whether it's my own stuff, I will, if I'm watching something, I will watch it at least twice or three times. I will watch it to have it just burned into my brain, since I was born without a piece of my brain, but that's a whole other story. But I didn't know that. I just knew, oh, those are the two external. Oh, I recognize the name. And I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't want to say anything unless I was wrong. And I looked it up really quick, and I'm like, holy crap. That's awesome.
Wow, okay, all right. Yeah. I'm looking at him now. Gosh, he's so much younger.
That was one of the reasons why I kind of skipped over the exterminators. But again, every show, every everything has a Wikia page that isn't straight up Wikipedia. It's its own designated thing. And I'm looking at this, and I'm reading through, as you're going through the plot, and they list all the characters and the actors in the plot synopsis, and I'm like, Phil Moore, are you kidding me? Wow.
Yeah, man, I dropped the ball because I usually go through all of the guest actors and look at their IMDb pages just to see if anything jumps out, and I forgot to do that for this episode. That's a bad prep work on mine, because I would have found that, and wow, yeah, thank you for catching that. That's incredible, yeah, like, not just the Jackie Childs thing, but yeah, all of the voice work that he has done, like, just, yeah, all over. That's incredible, yeah.
I mean, like, literally, yeah, like, Looking at his, and again, I don't want to turn this into this actor has done everything everywhere show, but just the highlights that he's known for at the top of his IMDb page: Star Trek III: The Search for Spock, Justice League Doom, Vandal Savage.
Yep.
He was in Black Dynamite. He's been, you know, he was Frank Stetson in Curious George, Go West, Go Wild from a few years ago. But I mean, like, yeah, he was in Smallville way back when. He was in the Sarah Connor Chronicle. I mean, the man has just been everywhere, and this is one of his okay, so before Cheers, obviously Star Trek III. He was in one episode of Heart to Heart. He was in three episodes of Mr. Merlin from 81 to 82. He was actually in an episode of Knight Rider as a lieutenant. It was as Philip Morris in 86. So just right before this episode, actually. But yeah, Phil Morris, ladies and gentlemen.
Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. Anyway, moving on, Gary comes into the bar, and he actually talks to Rebecca, which is nice that, like, he actually, I was kind of waiting for that. I was like, you know, they're really playing up the Gary and Sam rivalry as, like, kind of the leaders of this, but Rebecca should have a more of an authority place in this, considering that she is the manager. Mm-hmm. So it's good that he actually talks to her and says that he wants a truce and kind of flirts with her and asks her out to coffee. And she seems actually kind of receptive. And she's like, yeah, sure, I like coffee. And then, like, and as he leaves, she walks past Sam, and he's like, I can't believe you would, like, betray us and go out with him. And he's like, and she's like, what? He's handsome. And she's like, well, what am I? And she goes, jealous. And then as she goes to her office thinking that she has settled this matter, her office is full of sheep. And it's just like this great little visual where it takes her a second to notice it. And she, like, throws this stack of paperwork that she has as she runs out of there. And she's like, it's full of sheep. And Woody's like, I thought it smelled like home in there. And then the next beautiful moment, we see Carla now wearing a, like, mechanics coveralls jumpsuit or something. She has a toolbox. She has coaxial cables. She has a VCR and a VHS tape. And Rebecca says, Carla, what are you doing? You're not going to do anything illegal, are you? Are you? Carla? Carla? She's trying to get Carla's attention as Carla is walking past her and ignoring her. And she's like, you're not doing anything illegal. And Carla goes, what makes you say that? And she pulls her hat down to reveal it's a ski mask. Covers her face.
Ski mask, yep.
It reminds me of, gosh, I don't know where this came from. There's a Simpsons episode when, for the reasons of the plot, doesn't matter, but he had to steal Moe's car. Homer had to steal Moe's car. And he's at dinner with the family, dressed all in black, like black sweats and a black hat. And Marge, they're all just sitting there in silence, and Marge is like, so why are you wearing black? And he's like, I don't know, why did anybody do anything? And she goes, you're up to something. He's like, no, I'm just going out to commit certain deeds. And he walks out. It's like, that's not suspicious. So, yeah, we come back to Gary's, and again, like, this whole episode is just back and forth, back and forth. But back at Gary's, yeah, it's full of people, and Gary's, like, talks about how he's got the biggest big-screen TV in Boston, which, actually, if you compare to, I think it was just the last episode or maybe two episodes before this, Cheers got a brand-new TV, and Gary's is, like, two or three times bigger than the one that they had at Cheers. So that's actually, like, a good cut that he mentioned that it's the biggest big-screen TV in any sports bar in Boston, and they're going to watch this big match. And as it's just about to start, it cuts to, we see a close-up of Norman Cliff sitting in their smoking jackets as they have, like, pre-recorded this thing where they're going to have a reading of an evening of poetry. And Cliff talks about he's going to read the works of Dante Gabriel Rossetti. I don't know what it was about, like, the Cheers writers or creators, but I think there are three references specifically to Dante Gabriel Rossetti throughout, like, the life of the show. Like, I think there was, like, a thing with Frasier and Diane a couple of seasons ago, and then later on during a Halloween episode, Frasier dresses as Dante Gabriel Rossetti or something like that. So I don't know why the Cheers authors just liked this one particular British poet.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, the whole thing is, as they're starting to read this poetry, the crowd is getting angry, and Gary can't turn it off. He tries changing the channel. He can't switch it off. But, you know, Norm and Cliff are like, you know, we're so glad you're tuning in to watch us read poetry when you could be at Cheers watching the game where drinks are half-priced if you mention that Gary sent you. So that was actually a pretty clever comeback. I thought that was really well done for Cheers as their retaliation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad it extended from, like, they've already mentioned in the previous episode the precursor to this, but from Beer to Eternity, that Gary's has beaten them at every single sports known to man and some that aren't known to man. As you mentioned, the 173-1 or whatever the record is, but at least they're on a winning streak. What else could they do other than, again, that gravitational pull to bring it down to the Cheers level? The Cheers level is a prank war.
Oh, yeah. So Gary comes to congratulate them on their victory, and he says that he is a personal friend of Wade Boggs, and he's sending him over to Cheers to sign autographs. For context reasons, Rebecca asks who Wade Boggs is, and they give his baseball stats up to that point, and they're getting really excited. But Carla goes, "I'm standing in a room full of idiots." And Rebecca goes, "Well, that's true. What is your point?" It's not going to be the real Wade Boggs. And they're like, oh yeah, it's just going to be another spy working for Gary. So in comes the actual real Wade Boggs. And according to IMDb's little trivia thing here that I just looked up, it looks like Wade Boggs was a fan of the show and wanted to be on the show or something like that. But possibly it was just because he had a girlfriend in Los Angeles and he wanted to take time away from spring training. Yep. So he just went to see her and he got to film for 2 days in Los Angeles for the show. Worked out for him, I guess. But yeah, he comes in and he introduces himself as Wade Boggs, and Norm's like, yeah, I'm Babe Ruth. And Cliff is like, I'm his pal Dizzy Dean. And Woody's like, I'm Woody Boyd. Like, not catching up on what they're doing. The group surrounds him. They don't believe it's him. They chase him out of the bar up the stairs. And they come back with his pants. And that's where they check his wallet, and Norm's like, wow, they really went out of their way to make this guy look like Wade Boggs. They even gave him a driver's license that says Wade Boggs, and credit cards that say Wade Boggs, and a picture of him with Jim Rice and Dwight Evans. Like, all of these all-stars. Yep. And it's just dawning on them that, like, oh, we did this. And that, like, Frazier, like, even puts the cap on it. He's like, he got you to trick yourselves. And there's a great little, very underscored moment here, because Sam has been gone for all of this, and he comes in and he says, I was out last night with Gary's steady chick. Like, that was Sam's own revenge ploy, was to go and sleep with Gary's girlfriend or something. Just like that little idea. And they
yeah,
don't even...
as much as everybody else at the bar is about the prank nature of it, Sam's pranks are to basically, if he can, screw the person over by sleeping with whichever woman that person's with. And like that is so Sam Malone, because he is that jaded and that vindictive of a character. I mean, especially after being, you know, humiliated, they took the one thing, the only thing that they won from Gary's and destroyed it. Like, even though it's just a little dinky trophy, that trophy meant everything to him. And this is coming from a guy who was a major league relief pitcher. Like, dang.
In retrospect, I wonder how much that, like, I don't know, would say, I get, like, I don't know. I think of Sam as a guy of integrity who wouldn't try to steal somebody else's girlfriend or wife or something. But when it comes to Gary, then I think, like, all bets are off. He's like, yeah, he would absolutely try and take Gary's girlfriend or something. Not if he was married. Not if it was his wife or something. But he says Gary's steady chick or something. That's the way he describes
it. He says Gary's steady chick. And yeah, I mean, yeah. So, but that's just the way that Sam is, because. And, Sam's not a bad character. Like I said, I've listened to several of your other episodes, and Sam, the way I look at stuff is, I look at stuff in the time that it was made. So I'm not holding any of the Cheers stuff that I've seen in the last 2-3 weeks up to 2023 standards, because it does not hold up whatsoever.
All right.
So I look at it in the time that it was made, male chauvinism was big in the 80s. Like,
that was like the greatest character trait you could have. That was the most heroic thing you could do.
Yeah, and yeah.
No, that was and, yeah, that was absolutely the thing.
It sucks. It mm-hmm. absolutely sucks now. But looking back on it and getting certain laughs, like, but I didn't laugh at that moment. I barely, again, I watched the episode two or three times. I almost didn't hear him say, "Oh yeah, I was out with Gary." I was so enthralled with the Wade Boggs of it all. It's like, Sam did what?
Yeah, well, that was the whole thing. Like, and I think like it comes in. It's so underscored because they needed an excuse for Sam not to be there, because Sam would have actually recognized. Like, I think Sam of all people would have said, "No, that's the real him. That's the real Wade Boggs."
Yeah,
and Sam like, would have put a stop to it. So like when he comes in, he's like, "Why are you guys so depressed?" And they're like, "Well, we just pants Wade Boggs." And he's like, "That's who was out there running in his underwear in traffic." He's
like, yeah. And so, my question throughout all of this was, and you kind of answered it, but like, if Sam was there, obviously he would have recognized him. But my question is, did Sam ever play? Like, when was Wade? Wade was, oh God, I gotta look this up. I know Wade played for the Red Sox throughout the 80s, but I don't remember when his rookie year was.
Drafted by the Boston Red Sox in the seventh round of the 1976 Major League Baseball season. So I think Sam, in the continuity, I think Sam's last season was 75. So I don't think they would have overlapped. Right. But he would still, I still believe that Sam would know. I mean, like, even Carla is like, yeah, when he walks in, she's like, that really does look like him.
Yeah, no, Sam would know. I was just kind of curious if the character of Sam would have ever played with Wade Boggs, because that would have, it would have always been really cool to me, to any of the Red Sox players that I grew up with, to have a television character, especially one like Sam Malone, be like, yeah, I played with insert name here, insert name there kind of thing. Yeah. But
he does. Yeah, he definitely mentions Yastrzemski later on. Like that's a thing in a later episode. But anyway, yeah. But at this point, they're all depressed because, as Frazier points out, Gary tricked them into tricking themselves, and they're just like, well, you know, we've got one thing that Gary can't take away. And he's like, pride. And she's like, no. She's like, we've got Wade Boggs pants. And like, all right, this is something to celebrate. So they start chanting, "We're number one. We're number one." And it ends with, for the third time, Al, and he just goes, "Pretty weenie," and repeats that line again as he's walking out the bar. That was the episode. That was the first of what will be a series of bar wars.
Oh, man. This was fun. This was a fun, fun episode.
And it's great. It's a funny thing because you're rooting for these guys. This is our home team, and you want to root for them, and you want them, but you know they can't really succeed. They can't pull it off. Like, even in From Beer to Eternity, the one where they actually won the bowling trophy, the fact that it was Diane who came up and like saved their butts and won the trophy for them made it a little bit weird. So as the series kind of progresses, like they can't break the show by changing the fate and the status quo of these guys. They've got to continually be the losers and the underdogs, but we'll still root for them. So they'll have to be creative in how these pranks keep escalating.
And honestly, like, looking at the two bars, Gary's is kind of dinky. When Sam and Carla were in there, I'm like, it doesn't look like a Boston bar to me. Like, it, I don't know, it's the layout of it all, that, like, where they're standing in front of the bar itself. The bar itself is fine, but the rest of the space, it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, they needed to have a second set that they could go back to, and they needed to make it obviously look different than Cheers, so. I mean, the Cheers set is huge as it is for that bar, so I think anything in comparison would look just kind of like smaller and less impressive. But yeah, I think that's why at least they kind of pack it as much as they can, so it looks like it's crowded and always full. But For Norm's tab for this episode, he had 6 beers, which brings him up to 580 for the series so far.
20 away from 600. Let's go, Norm. Wait, no, I shouldn't be cheering that.
Let's go, cirrhosis. No. Who did you have for your employee of the week or your MVP for this one?
I gotta give it to Frazier. I really gotta give it to Frazier, only because I was not expecting 23 episodes into this that he would still be as bitter as he is when it comes to Diane.
Yeah, you know, like, I can't blame you, because my, like, everybody, like, it was so evenly distributed between everybody, and, like, yeah, even though Frazier doesn't have a big part, that line is good, but I actually, because I think this is the only time I'll be able to do it, I gave the employee of the week to Al. Because usually he's so good, but he usually just gets that one line. He gets that one punchline that just comes out of nowhere most of the time. And even if you're like, that might have been the funniest line in the episode, usually I'm like, all right, that's not enough to give him the MVP. But this time, he did have my funniest line of the episode, and they got use out of him 3 times. So I was like, okay, that's enough for me. I'll give Al my employee of the week. And that is also tipping off my home run for this episode. I think the funniest bit was when they're like, Al, why aren't you in Cheers? And you're like, this isn't Cheers? It's just a surprise. I just love that bit. Yeah.
My home run, it would probably be...
This is the Frasier line, isn't it?
It's get... No. Well, I mean, that's great, but no, I'm not gonna. No. That I did love the line, but I gotta say though, the home run has to be. Oh crap! That was Wade. What did we just? Them realizing that it really was like that's a moment you don't like. No one's gonna get that kind. And again. You got to think about this. This is 1987, 88, whenever this air. Like, yeah, they were 2 years away or 2 years removed, 1 or 2 years removed from losing to the Mets in the 86 series and all that stuff. But, like, the Red Sox, the 80s were still major, major deals. And this is obviously before the internet and everything else. And just having a sports star on your show, like. Easy home run. Easy, just, you know, put it right through Buckner's legs, and there you go.
yep, that was good. My runner-up home run, like the other one that I almost left, it's when Woody tries to go over the bar, and he's, like, spilling the glasses and everything like that, and he's so clumsy. But after he gets over, when he's hopping up the stairs to be with Sam, the fist pump in the air, like, he's so, like yeah, let's go, like, he's championing it and everything. As if, it's, like, the same note as, like, somebody who just, like, does something horribly, like, uncoordinated and just goes, nailed it, you know, like, says something like that, but just, like, he's, like, knocks over these glasses and spills them and, like, throws his fist up, like, yeah, let's do this thing, let's go. Just, like, that fist bump killed me.
Yeah, my runner-up probably would be Carla and Rebecca. You're not going to do anything illegal, right, Carla? Like, that would be my runner-up.
That was good, too. All right. Well, Mike, thank you very much for coming on Cheerscast to talk about this episode with me. Where else can our listeners hear you if they want to find out more from you in the podcastosphere?
All right. Well, I am the co-creator of the Geekcast Radio Network along with my buddy Steve Megatron. We also work with Optimus Solo, Comic Concierge, and a bunch of other people. Over on geekcastradio.com, we just passed 14 years for the network being online. This December, it'll be 15 years that I've been podcasting. And yeah, we got a bunch of stuff, usually every week, sometimes every other week. We are about to go on a bold new journey because Steve and I are going to go back to 1987, and we're going to then go forward through almost everything in Star Trek. So that's going to happen. It's going to be called Altered Trek. So that's going to be going on. But I've got 14, 15 years of content from cartoons to comics to video games to movies to TV shows. I'm going to have to listen back and see where Cheer... We do these things called the Top 100 lists, and we do podcast projects. So everybody knows the IGN Top 100 Animated Series list. You go on there, you click through 100 pages. My buddy Optimus Solo did that one time, and he's like, there's got to be a better way to do this than 100 page clicks. So we came up with this format where we do anywhere from 5 to 7 episode series where we count down the top 100 TV shows or top 100 animated series or top 50 video games, top 100 Transformers, whatever. We've done like 7 or 8 of these things. And what we do is it's not just us making the list. It is us, but it's also we partner with 20 to 30 to 40 different other people or podcasts or websites or whatever. And then that makes the master list. We're on our way currently to, hopefully before the end of the year, we will do our top 100 toys countdown. But we've got that. We've got a whole bunch of stuff. We've interviewed a whole bunch of people over the years. I do a bunch of interview shows now where I get people's cartoon origins or podcasting origins. Podcast Origins is 30 questions all about listening to and or producing podcasts. You are more than welcome to come on and answer the questions. Mostly I do podcasting for myself, but I do also want that interaction from people who have listened. So, you know, over the years I've become more open to some of that. In the beginning, I just was like so laser focused and just doing it, the art of podcasting, that I was doing the listener reaction feedback kind of stuff, but I'm getting better at it. So yeah, like I said, geekcastradio.com, check us out. And yeah, thank you for having me on your lovely podcast. Your bar is very clean.
Thanks a lot for saying. All right. Well, thank you again for being on the show, and thanks to all of you out there who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. This show is patronized by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
Did I miss anything?
No, just an average day. We refilled the pretzel bowls, played a little darts, pants weighed bogs, watched a little TV.
Wait, you did what?
Oh, man, we thought it was another one of Gary's tricks.
So that's who was running out there in his underwear in traffic.